So I'd like to welcome everyone to class this morning. It's good to see everybody come out. You should have in front of you notes for lesson 167, Sonship Edification, discussing the post-Blades Sonship landscape. So this is the last lesson I'm doing on Sonship, and there's only going to be one more lesson. Amen, right. There's only going to be one more lesson in the history project in general, but I'll say more about that next week. So lesson 167, Sonship Edification, discussing the post-Blades Sonship landscape. Introduction review is the first point. In lesson 166, we concluded our survey of the evolution of Sonship Edification in the writings of Keith R. Blades by considering the Enjoy the Bible quarterlies from 2007 to 2009. In this final lesson on Sonship Edification, I want to accomplish the following. Okay, the first thing I want to do is look at the events that led up to Keith's death in July 2010. Second thing I want to do is prove that Blades himself never publicly taught that Proverbs 1 served as a table of contents for Paul's epistles prior to his death, as far as I have been able to discern. Whereas Newbold is on record, whereas Newbold is on record teaching it, I don't think we need the of there, Sylvia, is on record teaching it well before Keith's death in July 2010. And third, ascertain where Newbold was in the Sonship curriculum when Keith died in 2010. We will also seek to determine what this might mean for how much of the curriculum these two men discussed before Keith passed away. Okay? So we've got a few things we want to do here in this last lesson regarding Sonship. So the first point is the death of Blades. In lesson 166, we noted that there had been no Enjoy the Bible Quarterly published in the first quarter of 2009 on the count of Keith's health. The Enjoy the Bible Quarterly from the second quarter of 2009 updated the periodical's readers on Keith's health status. It was on account of his health that no first quarter issue had been produced. Quote, "We want to express our sincere appreciation for all of the kind cards, notes, email, and inquiries that we have received over the past, I need to check that, Sylvia. Make a note, I need to check that. Over the past while regarding Keith's health in view of his heart condition and recent coronary procedure. Due to Keith's situation, we did not attempt to publish a first quarter edition of the quarterly. And even though he has some lifestyle adjustments to make and also has a few complications that need to be dealt with this second quarter edition, we hope to resume publishing the quarterly on our regular schedule." So, at the end of 2009, at the end of 2008, beginning of 2009, what you gather from that is he had some kind of heart problems, and he needs to have some kind of an operation, a coronary procedure done. They don't really specify exactly what it was, but you know that his health at this point is beginning to take a turn for the worse. After this point, so this would be after the second quarter of 2009, Keith's health seems to have deteriorated fast. In the very next issue and final issue of the quarterly from the third quarter of 2009 reported the following regarding Keith's health, quote, at the time of this writing, Keith is recovering from surgery for a colon cancer. So within a 6-month time period, he's got a major heart operation and they find that he has colon cancer. Alright? He underwent a complete colectomy and ileostomy. During surgery, a second active cancer was found on the upper portion of the small intestine, but it was unable to be completely removed. In addition, subsequent pathologies have identified that cancer is also present in at least one other system. So he has now been turned over to oncology for a full and thorough assessment of the nature of the cancers and their stages of development. He will in turn begin a prognosis of their activities and effects along with determination of treatment options. So that's the third quarter of 2009. So within a year of that, so by July of the next year, 2010, Blades passed away on July 4th, 2010. So within a year of these health complications that he experiences in 2009, he passes away about halfway through the following year. So the quarterly stop, as I said to you last Sunday, was the third quarter of 2009, and within a year, Blaze has passed away. Beyond those details, I don't know the exact cause of death. Obviously, it's cancer related and other things with respect to his digestive system, where there's known cancers, and he's had to have major operations and that kind of thing. But the bottom line is that's the information I can report to you regarding what leads up to his death and actually when he dies. Are there any questions or comments about that? Should seem pretty straightforward to me, but I thought we needed to make sure we include that. No? All right, now I want to move on to the second point, the table of contents in Proverbs 1. My review and collation of the quarterlies, my review and collation of the quarterlies came to a close. I realized that Keith never stated in print, in the Enjoy the Bible Quarterly or anywhere else to my knowledge, that Proverbs 1 was a table of contents or curriculum overlay for Paul's epistles. Okay? So this idea here that we went over in previous lessons, that there's a table of contents for such of edification found in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 through 6, and that those verses establish the three levels, the faces, and the various appellatives of adopted son, simple man, young man, wise man of understanding, and that Paul's epistles fit that grid. That's what this one's showing you. So this one's dropping in all of Paul's epistles into the place, into the appropriate spot of the table of contents. So this idea, this table of contents concept that we went over in the previous lesson, I cannot find anywhere in print that he actually teaches this idea himself. Okay? Now, while Keith does clearly connect various aspects of the sonship edification curriculum with the book of Proverbs in the quarterlies, the connection between Proverbs 1 and Paul's epistles is never explicitly made. Now, I want to be clear about that. When I say that, what I'm getting at is he never says Proverbs 1 is a table of contents for Paul's epistles. And he never produces any kind of chart like this that takes Paul's epistles and places them into their correct spot according to the table of contents concept that he's getting from Proverbs chapter 1. So before Blaze died, I cannot find anywhere where he's actually writing about this, nor am I aware of any audio recording or video recording that has been released for public consumption where Blaze is on record as actually saying this. Okay? And I want to be clear about that point too, because we know that he and Newbold were having phone conversations with each other and Newbold was recording them. So I am fairly confident that there exists somewhere a conversation where this was being discussed. What is not available is any hard and fast evidence of Keith ever actually publicly teaching this himself, either in his writing ministry in the quarterly or in any other audio or video that he released for public consumption that I know of, and I've looked at a lot of them, okay? So go back to your notes. While Keith does clearly connect various aspects of the sonship edification curriculum with the book of Proverbs in the quarterlies, the connection between Proverbs 1 and Paul's epistles is never explicitly made. Enjoy the Bible quarterlies contain clear connections between the book of Proverbs and sonship edification, include the following. Please follow the links below to the quarterlies and the corresponding lesson to review the details of each point of contact between Proverbs. So, we've already talked about these. He talks about Proverbs and Paul's epistles in the first quarter of 2002, the third quarter of 2006, the fourth quarter of 2006, the second quarter of 2007, and the third quarter of 2007. Now, the only, in parentheses there in your notes, you'll notice that you have the lesson and the number underlined for lesson 163, lesson 165. The reason you don't have lesson 166 underlined yet is because when I submitted these to Sylvia, Kurt had not put the notes from last week on the internet yet, so I couldn't link to them. But when I post this next weekend, there will be active links. So what I'm saying here is we have seen Keith in the quarterly make clear references to Proverbs. What we have not seen him do in the quarterly is explicitly teach this table of contents concept out of Proverbs chapter 1 and overlay it over all Paul's epistles. Everybody with me on that point? Any questions? Now, at this time, to the best of my knowledge, I'm not aware of any publicly released audio-visual resources on which Keith can be found teaching the concept that Proverbs 1 serves as the table of contents for Paul's epistles. In summation, Keith Blaze does not appear to have explicitly taught this concept in any format, written or otherwise, prior to his death in 2010. Mark Newbold, pastor of Triangle Bible Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, appears to have been the one to publicly articulate this concept. Now, I'm not saying that they didn't discuss it, because I'm pretty sure that they did. What I am saying is that Keith cannot be found on record, either written or otherwise, as laying it out the way Newbold lays it out with that chart. Everybody following me there? Okay? So, as I'm getting to the end of the quarterly, I'm realizing that this is a big piece to the sonship puzzle that Keith doesn't write about. Okay? So if you look at the last point on page 2, upon realizing this, my first question was whether or not this was an example of a sonship edification concept that Newbold introduced into the sonship thought stream after the death of Blaze. So is everybody with me on that? I read all of them last summer, and I'm going through them again preparing to write the lessons, and I'm realizing as we're getting to the end of 2009 that I've never heard Keith say this, or never read him say this.
Yeah.
Okay? And so he passes away in 2010, and I can't find anywhere in the quarterly where he teaches this table of contents concept. So my first question then is, okay, well, is this, because the question has come up in multiple lessons in this class, and it's been raised by you folks that have been coming to the class, and that question is, well, where does the Blaze Newbold material that they hashed out together stop, and the Newbold material individually picked up? Remember, I think Mike Merrick asked that question, and maybe somebody else did. So as I'm looking at the quarterlies wind down and I'm not seeing the table of contents concept explicitly taught, I start to wonder, is this an example of something that Newbold teaches about sonship that would be clearly something that he's adding to the thought stream on his own and not something that Keith taught? Is everybody following my reasoning there? So back to that last point. After investigating the matter, I've concluded that the answer is no. Newbold, so it's not an idea that he introduces to the thought stream on his own, or before Keith dies. Newbold traveled to Strathmore, Alberta, Canada in April 2010, prior to Keith's death, to teach at, quote, a sonship conference. That's going to be an active link if you want to go look at the audios and stuff from that conference. At this meeting, Newbold taught 3 lessons on, quote, the sonship curriculum, which included a discussion of the table of contents, as well as levels 1, 2, and 3 of the curriculum. Look, folks, that's the exact chart. Table of contents for sonship edification, level 1, level 2, level 3. So he is in Canada, in Alberta, Canada, in April 2010, just months prior to Keith's death, teaching the sonship table of contents out of Proverbs chapter 1, as well as the various levels and appellatives of the curriculum as they have defined it. Okay? So, the audio from this meeting is available on the Triangle Bible Church webpage by following the link above. This, of course, means that Newbold was in Keith's backyard just months prior to his death teaching the table of contents aspect of sonship edification. So therefore, the table of contents is not something that comes into existence or enters into the sonship thought stream after Keith's what?
Death.
Okay? So we can back up even further than that. Further investigation reveals that Newbold had been teaching all 3 of the following concepts for years before Keith passed away in July 2010. Number one, Proverbs 1 table of contents. Number two, Proverbs 1 curriculum overlay slash map for Paul's epistles. And three levels of sonship. In his notes on Romans 5 and 6, Newbold talks about the three levels of sonship. According to my calculations, I'll explain more about those calculations later on in the lesson, Newbold was in Romans 5 in 2005 and in Romans 6 in 2006. See below for a fuller treatment of the dating, blah, blah, blah. So look at the first quote. It's from the notes on Romans 5. But later on, as we get into the second and third course of our levels of our sonship education, it is not going to take near that much explanation, i.e., you're not going to have five times the statement, blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line is he talking there about second and third levels of sonship education?
Yeah.
Is that on the chart?
Yep.
Look at the next quote. And even though the same kind of terminology isn't used, we will come to see that God has designed the power of grace to still abound even more in our exaltation, which is why when you get to level 2, sonship edification, you get terminology like the riches of His grace. So, in 2005 and 2006, is He clearly talking about the levels of sonship education and edification? Yeah. And again, I'll say more about it in a minute. He's in Romans 5 roughly in 2005, and he's in Romans 6 roughly in 2006. So if you look at those notes, one quote is coming from the notes on Romans 5, the other quote is coming from the notes on Romans 6. Further in the notes on Romans 6, the table of contents concept shows up in Newbold's notes on Romans 7, for the first time in 2007. On page 23 of his notes on Romans 6:14 through 7:25, one reads the following. Proverbs 1, the basic table of contents of the curriculum for sonship education and sonship edification, yet while the structure or skeleton of the table of contents is the same for a father to properly educate his son in either program, the doctrinal information or the packages of doctrine that is given for a son's education in Proverbs is not in keeping with God's design for the particular business or vocation he has with his son who is the one new man or the new creature of the church, the body of Christ today. So there he is saying, using the terminology table of contents, and saying that the structure is the same for sonship education in every program, Israel's program or the church's program, but that the specific doctrine is what? Different. It's not a new concept. We've been over that concept already. The next quote, in fact, the truth of the matter is that near the end of level one of our sonship education, you begin to learn some things and are taught some things that are designed to enable you to understand and appreciate how angels think. So, my point is, notes on Romans 5, notes on Romans 6, notes on Romans 7 contain these concepts. These concepts are being taught by Newbold in 2005, 2006, 2007, years before Blaise passes away in 2010. So in other words, these concepts are in the thought stream well before Blaise passes away. So, sometime, last point on page 3, sometime in late 2006 or the first half of 2007, before Newbold began teaching on Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, on Sunday, June 17, 2007, he taught on Romans 8, 1 through 13. It is here that talk of the table of contents in Proverbs really heats up and is fully flushed out. Quote, as you're going to see that all matches up perfectly and wonderfully to our own education, as we would expect it to, for this is the format of a father/son education. So we've come to recognize that what we're being given here is in all reality, not in theory, a table of contents for the book of Proverbs in verses 2 through 6. Okay? So he says that in the notes on Romans 8, verses 1 through 13 on page 269. Then you have a few pages later, about 20 pages later, on pages 289 through 290, you have the following laid out. Okay? In your notes. What you see laid out is exactly the same as this chart. Okay, so let's just look at it. Sonship, table of contents for sonship education. If you look at your notes, recap. Sonship education, curriculum, table of contents. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. Then you have level 1, right? In level 1, you have how many phases?
Two.
Okay, you can see that there. You can see that it's broken down into part 1, to know wisdom and instruction. Part 2, and so, phase, level 1, phase 1, part 1, part 2. Phase 2, level 2, phase 1, phase 2, level 3, phase, level 3, phase 1, part 1, part 2, level 3, phase 2, part 1, part 2. It's exactly the stuff that you have laid out there on that chart. In the notes. Okay? This shows up in the notes, as I said, on Romans 8, 1 through 13, which was on pages 289 through 290. Now, quickly, go back to the bottom of page 3, just quick. Look at the last point again on the bottom of page 3. Sometime in late 2006, or the first half of 2007, before Newbold began teaching on Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 15. See, something happens here that's important for all this. He gets to Romans 8, 14 through 15, otherwise known as sonship orientation. Okay? When he gets to this point, starts dating the lessons. You start describing dates to the lessons. Now, what we just read were quotes from Romans 8, verses 1 through 13. He gets to this point on June 17, 2007. So on June 17, 2007, he starts talking about sonship orientation, Romans 8, 14 through 15. Okay? Everything before this is undated. It's undated on the website. Okay? But just think about it. If the quotes I just gave you are from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 13 section of the teaching, did he obviously teach that before he taught this? Obviously, okay? So that means that he is before and for sure, before June 2007, fully teaching and articulating and fleshing out these entire concepts about the table of contents, the curriculum map and overlay, and the three levels of sonship edification. Well, before halfway through 2007, a good 3 years before Keith what? Dies. Okay? Now, go back to page 4. Is everybody file tracking with me here on this? Yeah.
So would he be actually giving Blake ideas, or...
Well, can we hold that question till the end of this section, okay? So, look at page 4. We could go further with our documentation here, but there is no need. I could give you page after page after page of documentation of him teaching all this stuff. But I've proven the point I need to prove, and that's that he's teaching all this stuff before June 2007, 3 years before Keith what? Dies. Okay. The following three aspects of sonship edification were all being taught by Newbold by 2007, some 3 years before Keith passed away in 2010. The Proverbs 1 table of contents, Proverbs 1 curriculum overlay and map for Paul's epistles, and third, the three levels of sonship. While Keith himself never wrote or taught publicly on these subjects, it is beyond doubt that they were part of the subject matter that was discussed in the private phone conversations between Newbold and Blades. Okay? Blades, my understanding of it from what listening to what some of Newbold's audios and so forth is that early on he is heavily reliant on Keith. They are talking every week and they are recording the conversations that they're having about these things as they're talking, okay, on the phone. In my opinion, there is no way that Newbold would have been out publicly teaching an aspect of sonship edification without Keith's knowledge and or approval. Okay? So even though Keith doesn't ever teach it himself, it is, I cannot even conceive of the idea that he doesn't know that Newbold's doing it and or that he hasn't approved of him doing it. Okay? We've already seen all of the allusions to Proverbs, so you obviously know that he was thinking along those lines anyway. He just never publicly writes about or teaches in a different format or setting this chart concept that we saw, that I quoted for you there in the notes laid out from Newbold, and that Newbold is the one that produces that chart and offers it on his website. Okay? So, Beverly, to answer your question, yes, I believe there is some sort of conversation, give and take, between these guys. Okay? Without listening to the recordings, I have no idea, nor does anybody else, to know for sure what aspects Keith is bringing to the table and what aspects Newbold is bringing to the table. But what I think you can say fairly confidently is that whatever Newbold is bringing forth is stuff that the two men have agreed upon as fitting with the concept or the structure of the sonship curriculum. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. So what this highlights then, and I think this highlights an important point, is that Newbold's public teaching of sonship edification in his assembly was far outpacing the rate at which Keith was writing about sonship edification in the quarterlies. Does Newbold have living, breathing people in front of him every Sunday and Wednesday night there for Bible study? Okay? So he is, in his teaching ministry, he is outpacing where Blades is at and actually what? Writing about it in the quarterly. Okay? In other words, then, Newbold was teaching sonship-related subjects during a time frame from 2001 to 2010 that Keith had not written about during that same period of time in the quarterlies. Is everybody with me there? Any questions or comments, not concepts? Any questions about that?
Mm-hmm. Give me straight. What year again did Keith leave for permanent preaching ministry?
I believe that was 2001.
And then what year did he start collaborating with Newbold?
Actually, we're going to get to that.
Okay.
Is that all right?
That's fine.
Okay, if I still haven't answered it, ask it again at the end.
Okay.
Any other questions on that? Okay, so the last point I want to cover is what I've titled the post-Blades sonship frontier. And I don't know if that's the right thing to call it or not, but that's what I chose to call it because it sounded good. But one question that has surfaced multiple times throughout the course of our studies on sonship edification is where was Newbold with respect to the sonship curriculum when Keith died? Does everybody understand the concept? Okay. So, where's Keith at? Where's Newbold at in the curriculum teaching it when Keith passes away? That's the question, I think. I think Norm asked that question. I believe Mike might have asked that question, and maybe somebody else. And some related questions then that might be, that are either related to that or might come as secondary questions would be the following. Number one, what aspects of sonship edification is Blades responsible for as opposed to Newbold and vice versa? You understand that question? Okay. Second, how much of the sonship edification curriculum has Blades and Newbold discussed and or established before Keith died? Again, related but somewhat different question. And third, at what point has or will Newbold exhaust the material he discussed with Keith and be forced to proceed through the rest of the curriculum on his own? Do you understand those questions? Do you remember 2 weeks ago when we talked about sonship checkpoints and I said that I'm not aware of any full and total list of all the checkpoints in the curriculum that has ever been produced by these guys? For all of Paul's epistles. Remember when I said that? Okay? So these are some of the relevant questions that I don't know if we're going to totally answer, but I'll at least give you some thinking around these questions that might help. And folks, I'm going to be honest. I'm sure as time goes on, more details about this stuff is going to become known. It's just the way things are, right? So while I believe the information required to answer these questions exists on the audio recordings of the phone conversations between Blades and Newbold, they are not at this time being made available for public consumption and scrutiny. My personal opinion is that every single one of those four questions that I just raised could be answered if somebody had access to these audio recordings. And they could be answered with a lot more degree of certainty than what I'm going to be able to give you this morning. Okay? Therefore, in their absence, one is left to piece together a chronology based upon those aspects of the historical record that are available. Okay? And that's what I'm going to attempt to do in this final point. Mark Newbold began teaching sonship orientation, Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 15, on Sunday, June 17, 2007, with lesson number 157. Okay? So, this lesson here is number 157. No. 1547? 1597. Okay? 97. So he teaches 1597. He starts talking about Romans 8, 14 through 15, sonship orientation, on this date right here. Okay? So I know then that any lesson numbers previous to this are not explicitly what? Date. Everybody with me up there so far? Okay? So this is the first dated lesson in the audio archives of Triangle Bible Church. All messages in the Romans series prior to this date are numbered but not dated. Okay? So they all the lessons previous to 1597, they are numbered. They're just not what? They're not dated. Okay? So, for example, I can go back to 1598 and know that 1598 fits with which grouping? The previous grouping. Okay? So I can count backwards by number, but I can't count backwards by exact what? Date. Okay?
Everybody with that? You really have to track with me here, okay? Because I've just... hold tight, okay?
The list of lesson numbers, totals for each category, numbers and totals for each category, as well as date ranges for all datable categories, as of this past Wednesday, March 18, 2015. Okay? Please note, items in italics in the following list indicate numbered, but not but undated lessons. So anything in italics is going to be before which day? Before number 1597 and before June 17, 2007. Okay? So if you look at the list,
so Romans 4 would be, I'm not going to read all of it. Romans 4 is 1045 through 1163 in terms of the number of lessons. That's 118 lessons on Romans 4. Okay? Romans 5. 186 lessons on Romans 5. Romans 6. 94 lessons on Romans 6. Romans 7. 101 lessons. Romans 8, 1 through 13. 48 lessons. Okay? Now, all of those are in italics because they're numbered, but not what?
Dated.
Okay? Now watch, when you drop down to Romans 8, 14 through 15 in your list, the numbering starts with 1597 like I have over here on the board. The 176 lessons on Romans 8 verses 14 and 15 alone. Okay? And that ran from June 2007 through July 2008. So does everybody follow now how my list here is reading? Okay? So everything in italics is numbered but not dated. Everything that's in regular print, you have the numbering sequence, the total number of lessons for that category, and the dates in which they were taught. Everybody with that? Look at Romans 8, 16 through 39. 215 lessons. 215 lessons. Romans 9, 1 through 5, 17 lessons. Short survey of Israel, 93 lessons. Romans 9 through 11, 73 lessons. Romans 12, 1 through 2, 32 lessons. And Romans 12, 3, the rest of the curriculum, as of Wednesday, 583 lessons. And it's still in Romans 13. Okay? So that's the date there, 3-16-11 to the present. He hasn't gone any further than Romans 13. Again, you guys think I take a long time doing stuff? Okay.
That was my thought.
But that's where it's at. Okay? Now, beginning with the commencement of sonship orientation on 6-17-07 or 1597 and working forward. So that would be working from June 2007 forward to the present. Everybody with that? And using the dateable lessons listed above, I have been able to plot Newbolt's progression through sonship, through the sonship curriculum on a series of calendars. Here's my calendars. Okay? The first one was 2001, when Blaze first started writing publicly about sonship. Okay? And I'm going to go to 2007. I actually did this. Okay? I started with the first dateable lesson on June 17, 2007, and I went through and I plotted on calendars every single one of these dateable lessons, going all the way forward through the end of 2014. Is everybody following that? Okay? The calendar's here. If you want to examine it, I've got no issues with that if you want to look at it. Okay? But I want you to understand what I was doing. Doing so reveals that Newbold was near the end, within 2 weeks, of the 93-part study titled Short Survey of Israel when Blaze passed away on July 4, 2010. So if you look at your list and you say, okay, where was he at when Keith died? He was within 2 weeks of being done with this sequence labeled Short Survey of Israel's History, which ran from 1109, November 2009 through July 2010. So he's within 2 weeks of being done with that portion of the curriculum when Keith passes away in 2010. Okay? This, of course, means that everything from Romans 9 through 11 on was taught without the benefit of Blaze tutelage. Everybody understand that? So Blaze is now off the scene, and Newbold is teaching these things, and he can no longer consult or confer with Blaze. Once again, given the unknown nature of the recorded phone conversations between Blaze and Newbold, it is impossible to know for sure how much of the content brought forth under the banner of sonship edification since Blaze's departing was discussed beforehand, and how much of it is Newbold himself, how much of it Newbold himself is responsible for. But I can tell you where he was when Blaze passed away. Everybody, there's a lot of stuff to follow here. Is everybody tracking with me?
Okay?
Good.
So, no questions, right?
Yes.
Did he teach you the Bible studies or church services or what? Mm-hmm. Sunday schools or what?
He is teaching them. He is, for the majority of this time, he's teaching twice on Sunday, and he's teaching either two times on Wednesday for some of the time, or one time on Tuesday, one time on Thursday. So he's teaching about, he's teaching on average four lessons a week.
And just on this.
Just on Romans. Okay? Just on Romans. As far, just judging from the calendar. And, the, you know, their published schedule and so forth. Okay? So, given the fact that the first year for which assembling an accurate teaching calendar is possible, given the fact that 2008 is the first year for which assembling an accurate teaching calendar is possible, and that's on account of, look, if you look at 2007, for half the year, I don't have accurate, I can't place what he's doing when. Right? The first year I can do that for is 2008. Alright? So if I take 2008, so let me start that point over. Given the fact that 2008 is the first year for which assembling an accurate teaching calendar is possible, since he started dating the lessons in June 2007, I was able to average how many lessons a year Newbold taught between 2008 and 2013. Over the 5 years in question, 2008 to 2013, Newbold taught an average of 162 lessons per year. That's the average, alright? The totals from 2014 were not included in this average because Newbold inexplicably took a 2 month sabbatical for all of September and October of 2014. At this time, I am not aware of the reason for the sabbatical. Consequently, any reason I might give would be pure speculation at this point. I have a few ideas, but I don't have any concrete proof, okay? But I could not include 2014 in the average because there's an entire 2 months that he does nothing because he's on sabbatical. So I went from 2008 to 2013 to get the average number of messages he's teaching or lessons he's teaching per year at 162, okay? Now, using Newbold's 5-year average of 162 lessons per year based upon the math, and I have no reason to believe that this was different before 2007, and his lesson numbering system, it is possible to speculate backwards from June 2007 and get an approximate understanding of where Newbold would have been in the curriculum the previous June. So does everybody understand what I'm doing here? So now that I've established an average of 162 lessons per year over 5 years, all I've done is I started with the first dated lesson and I subtracted from that 162. Okay? So look at your list. If I do that, that puts him in June 2006, a year previous to 2007, in lesson 1435, which falls in the sequence of lessons on Romans 6. Everybody with that? If I subtract another 162 lessons from that, that puts him in June 2005 at lesson 1273, which falls in the sequence of lessons on Romans 5. Subtract another 162 lessons for June 2004, that has him at lesson 1111, or in the Romans 4 sequence. Do it again for June 2003, and he would be in lesson number 949, which would be in the Romans 3:1 sequence. So what I did is I plotted all this stuff out, I figured out a 5-year average, and then I took that average number, I just subtracted all the way back to figure out where he was at in each year, approximately. So let's go back to the notes then. Remember what I said, he's in Romans 6 in 2006, he was in Romans 5 in 2005, remember when I said that earlier in this lesson? That's why I was using those years, based upon that system of calculating and dating everything. Is everybody tracking with that? We good on that? Okay. So I'm halfway down page 6. There is no audio available on the Triangle Bible Church webpage for Romans 1 through 3. Regarding Romans 1 and 2, Newbold has included the following note. Quote, a note from Pastor Mark Newbold. It was during the time when I was teaching Romans chapters 1 and 2 that I came to understand and appreciate God's Word rightly divided, as well as many other issues about the Apostle Paul, the mystery, the dispensation of grace, the King James Bible, and so forth. Wherefore, a great transition was taking place in my ministry. So then, to avoid confusion and corrupt doctrine, the lessons taught in Romans 1 and 2 will not be made available. The purpose of these pages is to offer past lessons that we feel are worth archiving for future reference in the serious study of the Word of God. And then, of course, I've provided the link where you can look at all that yourself. So, despite the fact that there are no audio recordings offered for Romans 3 on the Triangle Bible Church website, there are two sets of printed notes that have been made available. One set appears to be a scanned PDF document of Newbold's typed notes and contains handwritten marginal notations. It almost, this first one, guys, if you were to look at it, which I've provided the link for you to do later on, if you were to look at it, it looks like it was typed on a typewriter. It has handwritten, you know, handwritten stuff in the margins and some things, you know, drawn and underlined and all that kind of thing. And then they took it and they scanned it through a copier or something and converted it to a PDF. But it doesn't look like it was originally produced on a word processor and then saved in that format. It looks like it was done in some other format and then transferred into that kind of document. Okay. So that's the first set of notes on Romans 3. A second set of PDF notes appears much more polished, lacks the marginal notes, and also includes notes for Romans 4. Okay? And then I've identified the two sets for you at the top of page 7. The first set are the what appear to be the scanned, handwritten, the stuff with the marginal notes, and those break down Romans 3 pages 1 through 39 and Romans 3 pages 4 through 212. And then there's a second set that contains notes for Romans chapters 3 and 4 together in one PDF document. All right. The notes titled Romans 3, pages 40 through 212, include a smattering of sonship terminology. Sonship is used 11 times, sonship edification 4 times, sonship privilege 2 times, sonship discipline 1 time, and sentence sequence 3 times. Now, that's all terminology that you should be familiar with from these lessons. The notes titled Romans chapters 3 through 4 include the use of the following sonship language and are not completely identical to the previous set of notes above. Sonship 6 times, sonship edification 3 times, sonship doctrine contained in Proverbs 1 time, sonship issue 1 time, sentence sequence 6 times. Now, see if you're tracking with me. What year is he teaching on Romans 3 based on the math I went over with you? 2003. Okay? Everybody with that? So in the notes in Romans 3, which mathematically are coming from sometime roughly around the time of 2003, is he talking about sonship? Is he using the terminology? Okay? All this proves that as far back as 2003, when Newbold was in Romans 3, he was being influenced by Blaise and was beginning to teach rudimentary sonship edification concepts. Over time, as we have demonstrated, this would grow to become the focus of Newbold's entire ministry. Okay? These observations regarding Newbold's teaching on sonship edification concepts in his notes on Romans 3 in 2003 coincide nicely with the following general timeline we presented in lessons 145 and 162. Sonship concepts show up in the notes of Newbold in 2003 at precisely the same time, he says that Blaise began to teach him everything he knew about sonship edification. Look at the timeline. Exact date uncertain. Newbold learns right division and purchases Blaise's book, Satan and His Plan of Evil, on recommendation. Enclosed is a pamphlet listing Blaise's tapes. Newbold orders to tape the battle on the cross and is so impressed with Blaise's teaching that he orders Blaise's entire audio library with assistance from Triangle Bible Church. 2000. Newbold begins emailing Blaise with questions. 2001. Newbold begins phoning Blaise and recording the conversations. 2003, Newbold asks Blaise to teach him everything he knows about sonship what? When do you start seeing sonship terminology showing up in the notes of Newbold? 2003, when he's in Romans 3, which coincides exactly with Newbold's own timeline that he provided in Triangle Bible Church audio number 2094. Okay? Everybody with all that? So one of the reasons is, so anything before Romans 3, there's no material on the Triangle Bible Church website for. And in the Romans 3 material, you start seeing stuff about sonship. Okay? Why? Because in 2003, Blaise begins to discuss it with him, and Newbold begins to what? To teach it. And from there, it just is going to what? Flow. And Newbold's going to outpace Blaise. He's going to outpace Blaise's writing ministry in how far and how fast he's going to be teaching these things. Okay? And he's teaching, frankly, he must be a full-time preacher. He must not have any other kind of job if he's going to be teaching at a rate of 162 lessons a year on average. Okay? At least three times a week on average. So, does any of this tell us concretely where the Blaise... The fountainhead of all this is Blaise. Starting in 2003, with respect to sonship, there's a partnership that's struck between these two guys. Blaise writes about it. Newbold teaches it in his church. Okay? Blaise dies in 2010, leaving Newbold now without the partnership that he had with Blaise. It's impossible to know for sure how much of the sonship material is the result of the partnership and how much of it is the result of Newbold on his own applying what the two of them had talked about after Keith died in what year? 2010. I've gone back and listened to a few of the audios on the Triangle Bible Church website from 2014, from last fall, okay? And he goes on sabbatical in, what did I say it was? September and October? September, October. So I listened to some studies that he did in August, leading up to the sabbatical, and I listened to some of the studies that he did in November coming out of the sabbatical, hoping that he would say why he took it or why he was going to take it, and he doesn't say that I can discern from listening to him. I will be honest and say I did not listen to every minute of every single one of them for the entire month of August and the entire month of November. So it may still be there, and I just didn't find it. But I listened to a few of them hoping to get that information. But, you know, why did that happen? I don't know. It could be Newbold's own health. I don't see any real evidence that that would be the case because he has resumed the pace that he had previous to that. So he doesn't seem to be being limited necessarily by any sort of specific health considerations. Or is this the point more than 4 years after Blaise died, where he finally exhausts the material that the two of them had covered before Blaise died? I don't know.
But it is interesting that he takes an extended 2-month sabbatical. I wish I could do that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Put me on the board now.
Okay. Thanks, Ron.
But you understand, I'm fully prepared to admit that what I just said is complete speculation. But I don't think it's irrelevant or unfounded speculation given the nature of everything we've gone over. Okay, yeah.
Is there any change in his teaching in November?
Nope. He picks right up with Romans 13 as if he never stopped.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, how many churches have picked up on this maybe a satellite what Newell's teaching, or how many offshoot churches are there? Or is this sort of a phase where it hasn't really grown that much?
The two big ministries that are doing this are Newbold in North Carolina and McDaniel in Texas. A third would be the Columbia River Group in Washington. A fourth would be Twin Cities Grace Fellowship in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Josh Gerlecki is there, and David Bush and Corey Richardson are at the one out in Washington, Columbia River. And there's another one, there's one in Idaho that I know of as a fifth one. And then there's a few other ones, there's a few other groups, sonship groups that are meeting in different places, around the country. So there are groups that are meeting and doing sonship the way that these brethren have described it in their teaching. Some of them are following straight through the Newbold material. Some of them are kind of doing it on their own and that kind of thing. But it varies. But there are groups that are, patterning their assemblies and their ministries after this. Okay? Any other questions about that? Let's go to the conclusion then. Page 8. So just a couple points. After all the stuff we've talked about now since September about sonship. First off, sonship edification is a recent theological system to develop within the grace movement over the past 15 years. It is a theological system. They will not like the fact that I'm using that term, but it is a system of theology that has been systematized around an understanding of how edification is supposed to, around this hierarchical concept of edification that we've seen over the last 6 months, okay? Where the sonship edification movement is ultimately heading is uncertain at this point and is anybody's guess. Will it fizzle and die out or grow and spread? Only time's going to tell on that. I don't know what's going to happen with it. It seems, as I've watched it in the 2 years, year plus now that I've been aware of it, it seems like it, at least on social media, it sort of comes and goes and comes and wanes. And there's people that are for it and there's people that are dead set against it, depending on, their perspective. Supporters of sonship edification have a strong presence on the internet and utilize websites such as YouTube effectively to spread their message. Moreover, social media websites such as Facebook have been utilized effectively to spread the message of sonship edification. What is certain is that Blaze is the fountainhead of the position and that Mark Newbold was his primary understudy. Beyond the Enjoy the Bible quarterlies, Newbold became the primary champion of sonship edification and advanced the position far further via his local church ministry than Blaze had in print prior to his death in 2010. Others, such as Mike McDaniel, have followed Newbold closely, in some cases even copying his notes verbatim in their enunciation of sonship edification. It is clear that the ministry of Triangle Bible Church has become a prime conduit through which many have been exposed to the theological system of sonship edification. For other sonship teachers, such as David Winston Bush, who has written extensively on the subject in his Sonship Establishment series of books, it's more difficult to determine where his roots and exposure to sonship edification reside.
He clearly got picked up on it somewhere. Did he get it through direct relationships with Blades or with these other brethren? I don't know the answers to those questions at this particular point. Okay? But look, I don't really know how this happened, but we ended up spending, if you look at the entire 167 lessons so far, I think I've done more lessons on sonship than I did on any other single topic. Okay? And maybe hopefully not to the wearisome of all of you. But the reason I did that was because this is a contemporary issue that's going on right now that people need to be aware of. Okay? I'll be clear about it. I reject it. I think it's wrong. I think it's unfounded. I think it has not been adequately and sufficiently proven from the Scriptures, rightly divided. And I have yet to see anybody provide unequivocal verses that would show you that this is the way Paul thinks of things. Okay? They can offer opinions, hunches, the way they view things, or the way they think about things, but I haven't seen it. I've read all of Brother Bush's material. I've read pages and pages and pages of Newbold and McDaniel's notes. I read all the quarterlies. I've listened to more and watched more of the stuff than I care to admit that I've watched. And this is my assessment. You don't have to agree with me if you don't want to. But I personally reject it. Okay? And I'm not naive enough to think that just because I'm done teaching about it now in this class, that means I'm done talking about it for the rest of my ministry, because I don't think that's going to happen, especially now that I've created a whole series of 20-plus lessons on it. But all those things aside, this was the modern development within the grace movement that we needed to talk about. And then next week what we'll do is we'll attempt to kind of conclude or wrap up the entire... You know, we've been at this for 5 years. 5 years we've been at this. 167 lessons. How many of you guys seen that movie, The Princess Bride? You know the scene at the end of the movie where Indigo is, he's got his revenge and so forth, and he says to him, you know, now that I've got my revenge, I don't know what to do with the rest of my life. I'm not quite there with this, but slightly. Anyway, appreciate your attention this morning, and we'll finish this up next week.